1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23 says this, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination or the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." Hey, let me ask you, do you struggle with a rebellious spirit? Do you have a hard time submitting to authority? Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm sitting across the table from my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Chris Schroeder is the teaching pastor at First Baptist Texarkana and also our counselor and also our director of ministerial staff. He wears a lot of hats and does a great job. Chris, welcome to the program.
I don't want to do this program. I'm rebelling against you.
Well, you're just going to have to hold it together for an hour. But we are going to talk today about the sin of rebellion. Obviously a big sin because the scripture says from the lips of the prophet Samuel, when he spoke to King Saul, who was rebelling against the word of the Lord, rebellion is as the sin of divination or the sin of witchcraft. Now, we all know that witchcraft is a bad sin. And when he says insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry, insubordination, rebelling against the authority that God has placed over you, that is a bad, bad sin. The word insubordination means to push against. It's displaying arrogance and presumption. And all those things are involved in the sin of rebellion. Now, the number one rebel in the Bible is the devil. And God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer, the number one angel. But Lucifer had pride, he had ingratitude, and he rebelled against God. And the number one human who embodies the spirit of rebellion is a guy named Korah. Korah, we read about his story in Numbers chapter 16, but the Bible talks about him one verse in the New Testament, second to last book of the Bible, the book of Jude, which speaks of false teachers and false prophets. It says this, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Perished in the rebellion of Korah. So that was, he's the poster child for rebellion. And Chris, when you think about Korah, he's the one that went up against Moses. He's the cousin of Moses and Aaron. He's a Levite. And the Levites were given the special assignment of being the singers, being the musicians, being the keepers of all the tabernacle of the Lord, and they would set it up and move it and move the tent. When the cloud moved, you know, the people would move, and they would gather up all the special holy things of the Lord and move it. They had an important assignment, but they weren't the priests.
Right.
The priests
right.
came from Aaron, right. Aaron and his descendants. And Korah didn't like that.
Right.
And he rebelled against Moses and Aaron, which was akin to rebelling against the Lord. So, Chris, as you have counseled many, many people over the years, let's talk about the sin of rebellion. What do you see in the counseling room when it comes to that sin?
Yeah, it could be, in this case, related to jealousy. You see something that someone else has. And you have contempt, you have you're discontent in your own life with what you have, and you see what someone else has, and you want what they have. You know, you said about with Lucifer, you know, wanting to be the one that is worshipped, not the one who's worshiping, but the one who is worshipped. So I definitely see that quite a bit with people who are unable to submit to the authority above them. It could be a boss at work. It could be a parent, you know. Teenagers are notorious for going through rebellion. Mm-hmm. It could be a toddler, you know, terrible mm-hmm. twos, like beginning to rebel. Oftentimes in counseling, we hear about, they'll say stuff like, he has naturally a rebellious spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be just strong-willed, like James Dobson talked about mm-hmm. strong-willed, but it seems like there are some that naturally have a rebellious spirit.
Well, and a rebellious spirit says, I don't want to do what you say.
Right.
I'm going to do the opposite of what you say, because I don't like the way you are conducting things.
Mm-hmm.
So God sets it up in life that we have to yield to authority. Mm-hmm. It starts off early. You have parents, and so you're born into this world, and honor your father and mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And your parents will tell you as a little kid, this is when you go to bed, this is when you eat, this is what you eat. So there are lots of opportunities to learn how to yield to the authority that God placed over you. And if you don't learn that as a kid, that, hey, I need to obey my parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is right. And, you know, if your parents ask you to do something that's illegal, hey, go steal from this convenience store. Obviously, you can't do that because you obey in the Lord. So it has to be what is right. But if you don't learn how to obey in the home, you're setting yourself up for failure in life, because all of life is submitting to authority. You're not the king of the universe. God is. And so, you know, Chris, it's kind of funny. Sometimes you see a rebellious teenager and I don't want to do what you say. I'm going to go join the army.
Right, right.
What happens in the army?
Oh, man. Yeah, military is interesting because you have chain of commands and you have to follow those chain of commands, you know, or there is natural consequences. I think it's interesting in the church. A lot of times military people struggle with church because they're so used to the chain of command, and you're told to do something, you have to do it. But in church, you have a lot of volunteers, you have lay people,
right,
and they don't always understand why it doesn't work. Like, it's very different from the military. I think about, you said, you know, teaching our children. Some children naturally just do what they're told. I mean, they're very compliant and they do what they're told. Our 8-year-old, she does what she's told real easily. Our 6-year-old, not so much.
She's going to push against
that. She's going to push. She's going to, if you tell her to do something, she's going to do it in her timing and in her way. And she's not going to just submit real easily. So we got a battle. So then we've got to decide, you know, how we're going to handle this.
Right. Well, all of life, if you think about it, so I shared Sunday, I preached on Korah. Mm-hmm. And the rebellion of Korah and how Moses and Aaron had to intercede for the people because God was responding to the rebellion mm-hmm. in a very dramatic fashion. Listeners out there, if you've never read Numbers 16,
it's interesting.
That's a powerful passage of scripture that deals with the issue of rebellion, and it adds an exclamation point on don't do this.
The consequences
are severe. I mean, when the ground opens up and swallows you,
that's pretty bad,
and then closes up on top of you and everything associated with you, that would be something like, hey, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've said before, you know, when you start messing in God's sandbox, so to speak, the things of God, the special things of God, that's when the Lord brings cataclysmic wrath. Mm-hmm. Nadab and Abihu, the mm-hmm. sons of Aaron, they burned strange fire, Leviticus chapter 10, burned strange fire before the Lord, which the Lord had not commanded, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and they died.
Right.
It's a sin unto death. There are certain sins that will bring your death. And typically they relate to you're hitting on one of God's hot buttons. You're messing with the holiness of God. Uzzah in the book of 1 Samuel, you know, he tried to right the ark when he thought it was getting ready to fall. I thought he was doing something good, but you don't touch the ark of God.
Right.
And the Lord struck him dead. When they opened up the ark to see if all the elements were still there, when the Philistines had taken it. You don't do that. And so all those people that looked in the ark died. It's kind of like the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark when they opened up the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, yeah. Remember, face gets burned. Yeah.
Indiana Jones said, Marion, don't look.
Yeah.
Because you don't want, you know, God is holy.
You said on Sunday, you know, because God is holy, holy, holy. So because he's holy, he's going to judge sin. You even talked about how, you know, when Jesus is on the cross, mm-hmm. his son, Jesus, on the cross, but he has all that sin upon him, God turns away. So a holy God, there is consequences for sin.
He can't have fellowship with sin. And so, you know, here are some of the characteristics. If you want to know if you're a rebel, if you're dealing with some of this rebelliousness in your own heart or in your own children, here are some of the characteristics that we see in the life of Korah. disapproving of current leadership. Now, you may have a job where you think your boss is a dummy, and he may be a dummy, but he's still the boss. And so what does God say? Submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution. You submit yourself to that. So first question, are you disapproving of current leadership? Hey, we all live in the United States of America that are listening to this program on American Family Radio. We're citizens of America. If you look at the current leadership and you give it an honest report card, unless you've totally drunk the Kool-Aid. I see some tweets from Rob Reiner, who played Michael Stivic in the All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason why Archie called him Meathead. He thinks that Joe Biden is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, he's always been left-leaning.
So we can be disapproving of current leadership, and you can do that in an honest way, or you can do that in a rebellious way. So ask yourself that question. Second question, a rebel is convinced he is right. Mm-hmm. My way is right, your way is wrong. Okay, so Korah said, hey, whatever Moses and Aaron do, that's wrong. I'm holy. I need to be the priest. Being a Levite is not good enough. I need to be the priest. Thirdly, a rebel is ungrateful for what he's been given. Chris, as you said, Lucifer didn't look at God put him as the number one angel. That's
right.
Something to be excited about and to be praising God for, but it wasn't enough.
Right.
I will be like the Most High God, he says in Isaiah 14. And a rebel is bitter over present circumstances. Things stink because I'm not in charge. If mm-hmm. I were in charge, it would be so much better. Mm-hmm. And so, Chris, especially as it relates to teenagers, mm-hmm. Teenagers can really fall into that category. They don't like the way their parents are leading. They think, most teenagers think their parents are stupid, mm-hmm. out of it. You're not cool. You're not with the times. You're so yesterday. You mm-hmm. wear tennis shoes and black socks, that kind of thing. You mow the yard on Friday night. I used to think, man, what kind of loser does his yard on Friday night? And then you get married and have kids and you want to do your yard.
Man, I'm starting to do all those things you just talked about. I mean, so a teenager, some signs of a rebellious teenager, they are having trouble at school. So it's not just you as the parent. They're having trouble with other adults like teachers,
right?
Neglecting to do homework, neglecting to study. A rebellious teenager may be experimenting with things that they shouldn't, like, alcohol or drugs. They're breaking rules, hopefully not, but maybe even laws they're breaking. They're seeing that they're beyond rules and laws. And they may... doing risky things, like thinking they're, when you're young, you feel like
I'm invincible.
You're invincible.
Right.
But there could be some rebellion to that, nothing can get me. I'm beyond that. I'm
right.
Beyond even getting hurt. And also something that is kind of interesting, but with a rebellious teenager, there's also could be some self-destructive behavior. Self-destructive behavior could also be a symptom of a rebellious heart or rebellious spirit.
You're talking about like being a cutter or that kind of thing?
Yeah, hurting themselves.
Right.
Right.
Well, interesting verse, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says this, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." You got to be careful. And here's what I've seen, and Chris, I know you've seen this too. Rebels can see other rebels, mm-hmm. and they clump together with other rebels. And parents are always very concerned, and rightfully so, who are my kids hanging out with?
Huge. That's huge.
Because bad company corrupts good morals. And there is something alluring about the bad boy.
Yep.
Oh, look how cool he is. He doesn't conform, that kind of thing. But those kinds of people end up experiencing the hardships of rebellion. And where that leads, and it always leads to destruction. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, joined by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we are talking about the issue of rebellion, and we're going to talk about, when we come back, how does that show up in the church? How does that show up in the country? What are we supposed to do when we don't agree with leadership? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you. The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
What do normal human beings want for a six-year-old?
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
To be loved, to be protected, to be shielded from some of the ugliness in the world. But you got these nutcases who want to push on a six-year-old that you are inherently evil because of the color of your skin.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
Not to disagree with the singer, but there's too little toilet paper, too little hand sanitizer, too little meat in grocery stores, and the list goes on. This coronavirus has the whole world in a tizzy. There seem to be shortages everywhere. But one thing there's not too little of is the good news that God is still in control, and His love is limitless. Check out Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. People are lonely. People are looking for explanations. Now more than ever, they're searching for truth. What they need is Jesus. Yes, the world needs love. God's love. And yes, we as Christians are called to both show and share God's love. A reminder of good news from American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of rebellion. This is what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. So we submit for the Lord's sake to every authority that God puts over us. That is the Christian way. Rebellion is never the Christian way. But Chris, let me ask you this. So how do you deal as a Christian if you have an unscrupulous boss? How do you deal as a Christian if your mom and dad are on drugs? How do you deal as a Christian if you're in a church where the pastor is starting to go against the word of God? Somebody would say, well, in that instance, I can rebel. What would you say to that? That's a good question. I mean, because some people think that they're trapped. And I would first make the case that you may not be trapped. So, you know, you think you're in a prison, but there is a door. So, like, if you're in a church and you have a choice of what church you attend, and so you could go to a church that's more solid, more teaching God's word and more solid in his leadership. In a job, you can you don't have to work the job that you work. So some people are in this mindset that they are stuck, but there are necessary endings sometimes where you have to choose something different. Now, the case of a parent, of course, that's a lot different.
Right.
And that's very, very difficult. And that's common, you know, that you have parents that aren't suitable, that aren't acting as parents, especially as godly parents. And so the Bible says to honor your father and mother, but that's a fine line. That's a careful line that you're going to have to walk through, and you're going to have to find solution for. But knowing that God knows the situation that you are in, he sees where you're at, and he hasn't left you in that situation by yourself.
Well, and the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, when the early church wouldn't submit to what they were being told by the Sanhedrin. You know, whether it's right in the sight of God to obey you or obey God, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. They were told not to speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus, and they said, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. We're going to still preach the truth.
Yeah, like is your faith being asked? Are you asked to compromise your faith? Are you asked to compromise what the Bible says? You could always go back to God's truths and God's word and say, is it being compromised, or am I being asked to compromise that? Well, that's over the line, and that's where something needs to happen.
Well, like on the COVID situation, yeah. I filled out a number of, religious mm-hmm. objections to the COVID shot. Hey, you're making me do this. I have an objection to this that goes deeper than my allegiance to you as a boss.
Yeah, your allegiance, number one, is not to the government or any person.
Right. So, you know, if you find yourself, and Chris, we see this a lot in churches. The spirit of Korah lives on.
Oh, yeah.
Korah was a member of the church, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, he's part of the assembly, and he's a Levite, so he's got a position of authority in the church, if we can put it in those terms.
He has definitely has influence.
He has a lot of influence. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is not some guy that nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
And he gathers to himself, as it says in number 16. 250 of the leaders of the congregation, mm-hmm. the leaders of Israel. So Moses was going, and Aaron, they were faced off with this powerful opposition
right.
to their leadership. But as Moses and Aaron said, hey, we didn't choose this gig. God put us in this
yeah,
position.
Yeah, Exodus 3. Yeah, they're called to it.
Right. And so you're not going up against us. You're spurning God, and you're going up against God. I think that's what people don't realize, is God puts leaders in charge. Romans 13, nobody comes to power unless God allows that to happen. So he knows what's going on. In our country, Joe Biden, from any honest metric, he's a terrible leader. Mm-hmm. He's a dishonorable person. But we need to respect the office of the president. And I'll be honest with you, that's hard to do.
Well, I think that's where it has to be under the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and it's under the position. So it's because we believe in our democracy, we believe in our country, it's the president more that we're submitting to, more than Joe Biden, the person. And it's God, like in the case of a church especially, it's unto God. I would never want to be someone who's going against, like you said, if that pastor is appointed by God, you know, is placed there by God, called by God and placed there by God, I would never want to be the person that opposes him. Because really, I'm then going against God and his ways.
Right. So what do you do if you're in a church where you say, I don't sync up with the pastor. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like his methods. That can happen. You know, when any pastor comes to a church, especially when you're new, I mean, not everybody may love you. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, it's going to be, okay, I'm not in sync with this guy. I need to find a place where I can feel good, where I can love the pastor and really get behind him.
You don't do is you don't gather support and fight against that pastor and make that pastor's job even more difficult than it already is.
Right.
And be a just total deterrent to what he's doing.
Right, because that sours the whole church, and that puts you in the crosshairs of God's judgment, mm-hmm. because you are, hey, it's like how did that guy become the pastor? God allowed that to happen. It wasn't like God saying, oh, I didn't want that to happen. No, he allowed that to happen. And so what if you prayed for the guy? What if you said, okay, I don't like this, but I'm going to really seek the Lord on this. I'm going to pray. Here's what the scripture says in Romans 13. Every person, that means you, every person, that means me, is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. All right, so Chris, you just wrote a book, The Marriage Resurrection. Let's talk about this in marriage.
Yeah.
Because a wife's given the command, wives,
yeah,
obey your husbands in the Lord, submit yourself to your husbands. How does a wife do that if she doesn't think what her husband's doing is right?
Yeah, it's a great question, because some in the counseling office, they understand submission, and they are willing to submit. I'll ask them if they're willing to submit, and they say they're willing to submit. Others really struggle with that, because that word has been taken hostage and just polluted and made to look different than what the scripture actually, how the scripture actually talks about it. So I always ask the wife, so if your husband was willing to die for you, willing to take a bullet for you, because he's willing to sacrifice for you, just like Jesus did for the church, then would you be willing to submit to him? Well, first of all, I ask the husbands, are you willing to die for your wife? 99.9% of the time, they say yes, because, you know, take a bullet for his wife. Yes, it's easy to say
that's
that.
Heroic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's heroic. Easy to do that. But would you wash dishes? Would you vacuum? Would you, right. You know, there's ways that you sacrifice other than, you know, taking a bullet.
Right.
But if the husband's willing to do that, well, then that makes it a lot easier for her to submit.
Right.
But yeah, there's cases where he's not willing to do that. But again, unto the Lord. So she is not just doing it unto that man who is flawed, who is sinful, who is not maybe living a godly life and being a good leader of the home.
Right.
But she's doing it unto the Lord, and she's being obedient on her part. That first part of Ephesians 5, that's to the wife. That's not to the husband. That's just to her. And then the second part is just to him.
Right.
So, you know, Romans 12:18, you can only handle your side of the street. So live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you.
Right.
So you're handling your part.
Well, if a wife says, well, I don't like how he's leading our family, I'm not going to submit to him, that's going to create all kinds of havoc in the home.
Yeah, you're going two separate directions, and it's totally splitting the home.
Right. And if a husband says, okay, you're not going to follow my leadership, so I won't lead anymore, I'll let you lead, that becomes a dysfunctional home. If the wife, quote unquote, wears the pants, when God has given that responsibility to the husband, well, he's shirking his responsibility. She's taking on a responsibility God never gave her. If you think that that is going to produce love, joy, and peace, you're barking up the wrong tree. It won't.
Well, we're seeing that throughout our society. That's what's happening throughout our society. There's a vacuum of male leadership. There's a vacuum of men. And so women are stepping into that position. Men are being passive and not stepping up into their role.
Right.
And so women then are taking that role. And that's why our society is so upside down.
Well, I've used this illustration before, Chris, because the rebellion really hits in the home.
Oh, yeah.
And for husbands and wives as it begins. But if a... If a husband's called to be the designated driver, that's what being the head, being the leader is. You're the designated driver. The wife is called to help him. So it's almost like sitting in that navigator seat, helping the driver. You know, and that creates a biblical model. That's what God has set up. Well, if she perceives that he's not driving, he's not paying attention, we're gonna go into a ditch, and so she says, I can't stand this, so she grabs the wheel.
Yeah.
When she grabs the wheel, he goes into the back seat to play video games. And then she's doing, here's the thing I tell him, I said, listen, this is where you do this in the Lord. You have to trust God. So you're sitting in the passenger seat, and you're saying, I have to trust God that God is going to put on my husband to lead our family, because he's not going to do it if I fill that gap. And then God can't work in his heart the way he wants to work, because I've intervened.
Yeah.
And so that's why it takes faith to do that. It takes a dependence on the Lord for a husband to love his wife, because sometimes she's not lovable. And it takes dependence on the Lord for the wife to respect her husband, because sometimes he's not respectable.
Right.
And so we can't do this thing called marriage without the Lord, because we run into those issues where, God, I don't have the strength and the ability and the power to do this.
So she has to call out in him what's not being shown, but's in there. Especially if he's a believer, it's in there. So she's got to call that out in him. She's got to call out that hero, that champion in him, that leader. She's got to see that in him and encourage that out of him, not be critical, not tear him down,
right,
but build him up.
And not preach to him. So here's what Peter says, 1 Peter 3:1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. That's the word hupotasso, which means to rank yourself under. That's a military term. Be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, not as they hear your preaching. And some women are bad about that.
Nagging.
Husbands don't respond to that, but they respond to respect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about men that end up having affairs, and, you know, so often it's somebody at work. Well, why is that? It's because that person is hitting them where they, scratching where they itch,
right,
in respect. You're so wonderful. Look how great you look, or whatever. And
respecting him.
Yeah. Because men respond to that.
Yeah.
They don't respond to disrespect.
I mean, don't you think, Pastor Jeff, that... right now, it seems like the church and the family are the two most important institutions that God created. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the church and the family are taking the lead of the nation. You know, the nation is so disunified and so terrible at, you know, tearing both sides apart, going at each other. And so we're taking leads from the nation instead of the other way around, and totally tearing down the church and the family.
Right. And so you see that in the church, where the church starts chasing culture,
yeah,
and chasing, I call it chasing cool. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about John MacArthur, grace to you, I listen to a lot of his Q&As, especially because I think he has great wisdom. But he said, hey, we do it the way God says to do it. We don't care what the culture does, because we're going to sing. We're going to sing to his glory, and we're going to preach his word as it's written. And if that goes against the culture, so be it. Thus says the Lord.
It's never outdated. It's never outdated to preach the word of God, because the word of God is never outdated.
No. And, you know, it's kind of funny, too, to the preachers out there, if you'll use more biblical illustrations, your sermons never grow old. Mm. If you use illustrations that are in pop culture, they grow old quickly, because what was popular 2 years ago, people are like, what's that?
You know? It's exhausting, too, for the pastor to try and keep up with all the pop culture, because it changes so fast.
You just can't.
And you're trying so hard to be relevant. So the 60-year-old pastor with skinny jeans and, you know, ripped skinny jeans, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta be who you are.
Yeah.
So, well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are talking about the subject of rebellion, and we're coming up on a break, but we're going to take your calls when we come back from the next segment, and so this gives you time to call in, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Hey, maybe you have a situation at work where you know it's wrong to rebel, but you're really struggling. How do I handle this? How do I appeal to authority? If my boss is asking me to do something that may not be immoral, but it's really on the edge, and you just don't feel comfortable about that, how do you say, no, I'm not going to do that in a respectful way without being surly or anything like that? How do you keep yourself in check so you don't get angry? That's a hard one. You know, when we read the news and you read the idiotic things that we do, professing to be wise, we become fools. It's easy to get angry.
Bitterness creeps in.
Yeah. As we shared on this program not too long ago, there is righteous indignation, which is good and fine. God has that. And then there's sinful anger. And we got to be careful that we don't go into that second camp of sinful anger. So we'd love to talk to you about any issue related to that as we talk about rebellion. And if I don't have the answer, that's why Chris is here. Chris has the answer. Chris talks to people a lot in the counseling office, going through issues and problems. God has given him a lot of wisdom. And so we would love to take your calls, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
Even if you're not a football fan, chances are good you heard about what happened to Damar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. In response, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky put his faith into action and led a prayer for Damar live on the air. Such a refreshing change. Please join us as we pray for Damar's recovery. And will you take time to sign our petition thanking Dan for boldly exercising his faith in front of millions of people? Stop by AFA.net today. What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is so frustrating. But here's some great news. If you miss the December 7th deadline for open enrollment, it's not too late. Here's something that can really help. It's MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It's people who encourage and pray for each other, too. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. Plus, it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. So worth looking into. MediShare 65 Plus is open for enrollment. And if you join right now, before January 31st, your second month will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
The Larsons learned that a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You just can't outgive God, and He just keeps pouring back into us.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, let me just tell you about a great ministry that you can get involved with and you can support. It's called Preborn, and American Family Association is partnering with Preborn. What is Preborn? It's a ministry to support women in crisis pregnancy. They provide free life-changing services or life-saving services such as ultrasound. And when a mother has an ultrasound and sees her baby in the womb, she is much more apt to say, I can't destroy this child. And Preborn has counseled over 450,000 women considering abortion, and more than 200,000 babies' lives have been saved. And more than 65,000 of these women have surrendered their lives to Christ. And so we are at American Family Association, American Family Radio, pleased to partner with them. And here is the way you can get involved. A gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. A gift of $140 provides five free ultrasounds, and that reaches five women and their babies. So if you would like to get involved with that, our goal is to help save 4,000 babies. And so if you would partner with us, you can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can donate online at afr.net. And that would be a great use of $28 or $140, whatever you can give. God will use it to his glory to save lives. Well, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are talking about the issue of rebellion and submission, and the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we have Aaron on the line from Mississippi. Aaron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
My question is, I don't have my family in church the way that I need to. I'm not good at just taking the reins and taking control and saying, hey, we're going to go to church this day. And I just wanted to see if there might be some advice out there I could get to try to get in gear to do the right thing as far as my family goes.
How long have you been married, Aaron?
I've been married 10 years this year, as a matter of fact.
And how many children?
We've got three. One is out of the home, and one is in college but still at home, and then one more at home.
And your wife's a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But you guys haven't been involved in church?
No, sir. We have, but not like on like steadily. Not okay. Like every Sunday we go or anything like that.
Yeah. Is she opposed to that?
No, sir, she's not. She lost her mother a couple years ago, and then she had a problem with drinking, so she's got some guilty conscience things going on. So I'm not 100% sure if that's part of what's keeping us out, or if it's more maybe the fact that I don't say, hey, let's go, you know.
Well, Aaron, I mean, first of all, I appreciate your honesty and your desire. So basically, you lead by example. So you say, hey, I'm going to church on Sunday. I would love for you to go with me. If she doesn't go, she doesn't go, but you're going. So you're leading by example, and you're setting the tone. And so you are called to lead, but you're not responsible for, you know, her soul and her decisions, but you are called to lead and set an example. So you just say, I'm going. I would like for you to go, but that's it. And then you go, and you know, your kids, same thing. Younger kids, they go, you know, they go with you. But you can lead by example.
Yeah, and I think too, Aaron, when it comes to your spouse, you know, you can't force them to do things. And the Lord, you know, the Lord is gentle with us. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. And the shepherd just doesn't jerk the sheep around. He gently leads those, as Scripture says, that are with young. And so we're gentle with our wives. And we express our heart. This is the way, you know, I want us to lead our family. And this is the direction, you know, I want us to go. But if she's dealing with a guilty conscience, it may take her a little while. And it may just be the way you love her, the way you're gentle, the way you nourish her and cherish her, then she will respond to that. I think it's hard for a woman to not respond, because God made her to be a responder. When she experiences a lot of love and grace from her husband, she wants to respond to that. So I hope that is helpful, and thank you for calling in today. And as Chris said, I appreciate your honesty with that. Well, we have Amos from Louisiana. Amos, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I love you guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
But this morning, with the topic you're discussing, I'm really confused. I'm getting some mixed messages here. And I guess you could almost make the case that preaching the gospel is an act of rebellion, and that you know, Jesus' entire ministry was rebellious. And so when you're talking about like the government, or when the word is not being interpreted accurately from the pulpit, you know, that's just two examples, but in the case of the government, you know, our government is a government of the people, for the people, So really, the people are the government. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that we should be submissive to, to what some of the demonic leaders that we have are doing today. Mm-hmm. In the case of the church, I think if your pastor is not staying true to the word, your best option is not just go find another church, because he's misleading the congregation. I think you should have a talk with him first, shouldn't you? I'm just getting a few mixed messages, especially from what I've heard from you in the last 4 or 5 months, Pastor, since I've been listening.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Amos, and I can see where you're coming from on that. So it becomes kind of, not tricky, but it becomes one of those things where you have to really seek the Lord. You appeal to authority for sure. When authority is going off the rails, it is biblical, it is right to appeal to authority. You don't rebel against authority. What I mean by that is you don't, our pastor is going off the rails. I'm going to start building a coalition against the pastor. We're going to come up against him, and we're going to try and destroy him. That's what Korah did, and God had appointed Moses and Aaron. And Moses and Aaron weren't perfect. I mean, Moses for sure wasn't perfect. He had kind of a temper on him, but that was God's choice. So I would, sit down with the pastor, and I would say, here is what the scripture says, and if you bring another person with you, whether that's another deacon or something like that, we are concerned. But I think giving that person the benefit of the doubt, rather than saying, this guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing, he's awful, he's terrible, and churches that do that and people that do that, it's like, wait a minute, you're not following the scripture, you're not now appealing to authority, you're rebelling against authority. You know, Tom, what we saw with all the riots, and we're going to burn this place down, and obviously that has nothing to do with the ways of the Lord. The Lord would not have us do that. And preaching the gospel is offensive, but it's not, you're not asking people to storm the Capitol and destroy it and that kind of thing. That's not the way of the Lord. And we call people to repentance, and we call people to obey authority as long as you can obey authority. When authority tells you to do something, hey, you're going to have to get the mark of the beast, we say, no, we're not doing that. When the authority says, preach no more in Jesus' name, no, we're not doing that. But you'll notice with the disciples, they weren't going out and saying, hey, let's string up Caiaphas and Annas and off with their heads and that kind of, they weren't doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible tells us how to handle conflict, and I think it's how you handle it. You know, so Matthew 18 talks about how you handle conflict. So you go and you have a conversation with your pastor, and you say in a good tone, in a positive way, Pastor, I'm hearing this. You give them an opportunity to explain, but you tell them what you're hearing, and where you're hearing, you're seeing the scripture differently. And hopefully that pastor is open to it and you're able to explain. But you definitely don't want to be, you know, quiet about it. You're reading the scripture for yourself. So you want to have opportunities to be able to come to your pastor. But there's ways to confront and to handle conflict in a way that's still, that's not rebellious and is still honoring to God.
Right. Is that helpful, Amos?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I appreciate you guys. There's still a lot of confusion. I mean, we really need to look closely at defining that rebellion. And I understand there's a right and a wrong way to go about it. And if you're rebelling for rebellion's sake and you're doing it against what God is teaching, that's absolutely wrong. But in the case of today's culture and what's going on, I see even when the gospel is being preached, and there's no blasphemy or anything coming from the pulpit, it seems to be slanted a little bit toward the culture than to what I think is intended through the word. And I see that a lot. So
right. I'd agree with you on that. I think that's a...
The disciples wanted Jesus to rebel. They were tired of the Romans. You know, they wanted rebellion, and Jesus gave them a different kind, but I don't think it would be in the category of rebellion. It was a different way. It was a kingdom way, but they wanted to fight. They wanted rebellion in that way.
Right. And so, Amos, you know, the whole issue with how America came to be, you know, we broke away from the British.
Yeah.
And some say, well, that's rebelling.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've talked to David Barton about that and Bill Federer on the program yesterday. And the founding fathers saw that differently. We have appealed to authority. Authority is making us do things that we don't agree with. This is not the way God set it up. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. It's not the king and all his subjects that just shut up and take it type deal. And so I think there was a fine line there, and they really had to wrestle with that and pray through that, you know, because some were saying, hey, we're not supposed to do this, and others were saying, yes, we are. So good question, Tom. It's Amos Tom, and I keep calling you Tom. I apologize for that. But Amos, good question. Thank you for listening to the program. I appreciate you calling in today. Well, we have Tom on the line from Rhode Island. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Hi, Pastor Shreve. And I do attend First Baptist there when I'm in Texarkana.
All right. I know, Tom.
I did want to make a comment on your reference to popular culture. And that is that the more I read the Bible, the more I realize it was all written about popular culture. It's all written about what was going on at the time. In fact, many of the epistles are addressed to specific people. And so when a sermon is preached or a message is given and it just says we must love, it becomes like about as meaningless as the slogans on the back of football helmets, you know. So I think application is so important, you know, that make references, and you do often make references to what's going on in our society. And I think that's so important. But I do agree with you on the skinny jeans.
Yeah, good point, Tom. I think you have to make it. I look at it this way in a sermon. I want people to know that, hey, I'm living in the same world you're living in. I'm not living in the world from 3,000 years ago. This is today. These are the things that we deal. So John R.W. Stott wrote a book called Between Two Worlds. And it says, as a preacher, you go to the biblical world and you bring it into the contemporary world and you say, this is what the scripture says and this is what it means to us today. This is our issues. How do we put the Bible into practice in the issues that we face today? So I just think that if you use a lot of pop references, you're going to use a quote from a television show that some people watch and some people don't, as opposed to, hey, there's a good illustration in scripture about rebellion from the life of Korah. That way you're getting kind of a more bang for your buck, because you're teaching them this biblical story while you're illustrating it at the same time. So good word. I appreciate that, Tom. Well, we have time for one more, and we have Janet from Texas. Janet, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, yes. I don't have enough time to share what I was going to share, but these are three things that I've learned. Keep on forgiving, keep on loving, and keep on praying. And when someone does you wrong, you need to pray for yourself first that you respond the way God wants you to. And then you just keep on forgiving, because, you know, everyone's got faults and things, but at the same thing, but at the same time, I think in the particular situation I was involved with, it might have been a wake-up call. And I'll share that story with you some other time when I have a longer time. But I think it might be a needed acknowledgement for some people that are in churches to be more sensitive to their people. So,
right.
But thank you. I really appreciate you and your wife and your staff. You're really a good preacher.
Oh, thank you, Janet. Very kind. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Dr. Chris, thanks for being on today.
Of course, yeah.
And I appreciate you not rebelling against my leadership. That's awful nice. But hey, be encouraged. And what Janet said is so true. Be forgiving and be praying. And we all have authority over us. And so God wants to use us to be a positive impact on authority, not a negative impact. And to trust Him through the whole ordeal. So go out today, shine and share, and let God use you for His glory. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.